He wanted me to let you know that if you had any requests, just write the name of the tune on the back of a $20 bill and give it to him. He'd be glad to take care of it for you. Okay? All right. But I did enjoy that. Thank you. Thank you, brother, for doing that for us. I got the birthday list this week. It's not based on the date of the birth, so I'm just going to read through the entire list. So this is for February, and hopefully we'll have everybody covered. All right, so here we go. And this is not in order by, I don't know what the order is. It's not by age. So don't get nervous, okay? All right. Joe Green, Sandy Cox, Priscilla Benna, Doug Krause, Connie Tarbox, Dave Rush, Mary Ellison, got you, Dave, Jerry Lovegrove, Johnny Saylor, Lynn Davenport, and Alice Carter. There you go. There's our birthdays. Any birthdays that we missed that anybody will admit to? And I already got anniversaries. We don't have any other anniversaries in February. Any other anniversaries? No? No? All right. All right. Wednesday night, if you were not here Wednesday night, you can go back and listen to this on the internet. But Brother Pritchard spoke to us, and Paul Pritchard, and this was the first time I had ever heard him preach. So a lot of times I'm traveling for work during the week, and I had just never heard him before, and it was the first time. So if you did not hear that, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. But one of the things he talked about was he needed the Lord's guidance on something, and he was reading through the Bible, and he found his name in the Bible in a verse. And his name is Paul, so obviously the verse is written to the Apostle Paul, but still it was his name in a verse, and he felt the Lord leading him actually to be a missionary. And that was the verse that he took as the Lord leading him. So have you ever read through the Bible as you're doing your daily Bible reading and looked for your name? My name is in the Bible, and I found a special verse many, many, many years ago. And it's actually not in the New Testament either. It's in Psalms 37, verse 37. And it was a special verse to me. And it's one that I use a lot to remind my wife that it is in the Bible. And it's a great verse. So have you ever looked for your name in the Bible? Do that. You never know where you might find it. You might find something that speaks to you. So look for your name in the Bible as you do your daily Bible reading. Key word there, daily Bible reading. Hope we're in the Word every day. As we get into the Word gets into us, and that's how we can be changed. All right, let me give you a couple of things on our prayer list. David Pruitt has two relatives that are going through some eye issues with the eyes. So one is Donna, his wife, and Janelle, his daughter-in-law. So we'll remember them. Anything else, just make sure you get it put on the list over here on the table. Also make sure you're checking in. And I think that's it. So we will go to prayer. And thank you all for being here. And we'll pray, and then we'll get right into the lesson today. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have given us this time again, this opportunity. Thank you for this place that we can meet together. You know, our church has been through a lot in the really about the past year. We thank you for the providing us with a pastor now. We pray for Brother Herdman, for his family, as they make this transition. And I know it won't necessarily be an easy time for them. And there's school issues with the daughters and having to transplant in mid-school year, and they're going to have to make new friends, learn a new area. And I know there's a lot going on there, but we want to give you thanks. We want to give you praise that you've met our need for a pastor. And we ask that you'd make this transition for them as smooth as possible and bless them, bless their time here. Thank you for them. We pray for our class today as Dr. Stevens comes and opens up the Bible. And he's been doing this for decades, and he could easily stand up here, open the Bible, and give us something really good. But if you speak through him, if you feel him, if you guide his words, if you guide his thoughts, it's going to be a whole lot better. So we pray for him as he opens up the Word and ministers to us. We pray for David Pruitt. He's got two family members here with issues with their eyes. and his wife Donna's daughter-in-law Janelle. We pray for them that you would meet those needs for them. And as I think about needs, there's probably every seat in this class has some kind of a need. There's something going on, and I'm reminded of the time many years ago as my dad was dying of Lou Gehrig's disease. My mom's cousin came by the house, and he wanted to pray with the family. And I still remember the phrase that he used. He said, "Heavenly Father, you know the depth of the need." That phrase, the depth of the need. We all know about needs, but you know the depth of the need. And there are needs here in this class. And sometimes maybe you only know about the depth of the need. But we thank you that you do know and you care and you're able. And so as we think of every member of this class, I thank you for them. Thank you for them being here. They may not know it, but they are an encouragement to me. I'm meeting here with my brothers and my sisters in Christ. I'm encouraged. And you've told us to meet together and fellowship together. And we're doing that. We're obeying your word today. And I pray you'd bless us. So bless our time here together. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as Dr. Stevens comes to give our lesson, I think it was about a week ago, if I'm not mistaken, during a sermon, Dr. Stevens told us that when he was younger, he used to steal apples. I don't know if any of y'all remember that or not. But offering is right there. Hope, can you start the offering, please? Dr. Stevens told us he used to steal apples when he was a kid. And he should have known that was going to come back to bite him, because today, on behalf of the Victory Bible class, I brought an apple to the teacher.
Oh, I'm up. I was going to sit there and eat my apple. Who said that? Oh, well, I love this church. We keep being asked two or three questions we can't answer totally, all of them. One of them is, are we going to move here? The answer is no. When you're going on 79 and you just moved 4.5 years ago, you don't, or I guess 5 years in March, you don't want to move again when you get our age. So we're going to stay where we are by God's grace. And then secondly, I've been asked when are we leaving, and what's so funny? When are we leaving? That guy right there has been a problem since he was in that play. He was against Jesus, and he's against me in that play. All right. And the answer to that is, we'll be here the first Sunday in March officially. That's to be our last Sunday. But I Brother Herdman and I've talked a little. He said he may want me to come back occasionally during the next few weeks. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But it'd be basically like a Thursday or Friday or something. I don't want to interfere with what he's doing here. We need to let him be the pastor. And I'm just here to scrub the floors or whatever he wants me to do. And so I think then on the 22nd, Rickson, my son-in-law, is scheduled to speak here as a missionary. But we're not sure that's going to happen. We have a lot of things up in the air in our lives. The reason is that we know if we can get him off the island of Pohnpei, because of the ban, the travel ban is on now in most places. And once he gets off, and he's going to bring my grandson, Kyler, and he's also going to bring another one of his assistants who's never been off the island, really, basically, all of his life. And the problem is, if he gets off, he may not get back in. And I'm not interested in raising a grandchild at my age, so we need to make sure they get him back there. So all those things are in the line. I have 5 grandchildren, but I got 8 total. But anyway, so pray about that. And we noticed that Buddy is here. He made it from Yap, right? Do you get a lot accomplished?
Yeah, about third.
Yeah, okay. Praise the Lord. Good. Good. Good to see him. And so pray about that. I know that we'd like for Buddy and for Jerry to go back and help do some more things there, but they really get there. They may get off the island. We got to make sure this band is there. What? What? Canoe? They got canoes. That's a real encouragement. Okay. Anyway, and so let's turn in our Bibles. So I'm going to pretty well finish up. I've already done the life of Joseph, but I'm going to have you turn to chapter 32. We'll look at 32 again today in chapter 33 in the life of Jacob. We've been looking at Jacob for some time. We've been in this book since July and had a great time with it. But now and next week and the following week, I have some other things by God's grace I want to share in this class, and then that will be officially, I know officially, March the 1st will be on my official last day for this class. I believe Pastor's going to take it over, and he'll do a good job and rejoice in that and praise the Lord for him. Now, we're in Genesis 32, and we've already looked at some of the thoughts here in Genesis 32, and so let me just rehearse real quick here. Jacob, after 20 years, is going back home. Where's Lynn, by the way? Lynn, raise your hand. Where are you, sir? There he is. He's and his grandson with him from Greenville, South Carolina. So we're glad to see him here with us today. And so we don't want to think of our visitors today. But, and his grandson. Oh, your wife's with you. I apologize. She's more important than you. Good to have you today. God bless you. I apologize. I remember meeting you. I have a photographic mind, but as I tell everybody, it ran out of film years ago. You say that to a young person, they're like, what's film? What's film? We've already looked at the meeting with the heavenly host here in verse 1 and verse 2, and so I'll not deal with those two verses again. We also dealt somewhat with Jacob's prayer there in chapter 22. Jacob is about ready to face his brother that he hadn't seen for over 20 years. And if you remember, when he left home, his mother did everything she could to get him out of there because Esau would have killed him. He hated him. And so he hated him with great hatred. And so he leaves home. And now he is coming back after about 20 years, a little over 20 years. He's coming back home. And, of course, Jacob, that name, really was a tremendously backslidden Christian. I often tell folks in chapter 28, if today, in our theology today, he would consider getting saved. In chapter 32, he surrenders his life. He is on the line. He is facing danger. And so we find here that he is praying now. He's not only have a meeting with a heavenly host, but he's meeting God with a heavy heart. A heavy heart will do something in your prayer life, folks. It will do something for you. It really makes you honest in your prayer life, and it will cause you to really seek God in a way that is very, very interesting. I don't know how many times in my life I have prayed with a heavy heart. I didn't do that when I stole the apples, by the way. I think the story, if you remember that story about the apples, I think I better explain myself. As a teenager, of course, I wasn't saved. Didn't get saved. I was, thank you, Mark, for your bringing up my past. We'll try.
I got your back.
Yeah, you got me, yeah. And I remember saying that when the fellow caught me with apples, he said, well, you don't need to steal them. You just come and get them. Well, it didn't taste as good after I'd stolen them all that time. Another time I was in a fellowship. By the time I was 16, I was shot at 4 times. Praise the Lord, all the bullets missed me as a teenager or being raised in the slums. I remember getting in that cherry tree, stealing cherries, And that fellow, the owner, came out and he had six shots in that gun, unloaded all six of those in that tree. I think he sent a couple angels back to heaven, but I lived through it and I was thankful that God spared me and saved me later when I was 21 years of age. But anyway, that's my apple story and the reason why. And I'm going to enjoy that. Apple, thank you so very much. Matter of fact, if you got a few more, Marilyn will make a pie for me. So feel free to bring a few more. But now we see a prayer here. And I want you to notice here in verse 9. I just want to rehearse that prayer. That's where we left off in verse 9. Because it is a very interesting prayer. You'll see him praying with a heavy heart. It's a prayer from the heart. He deals here with the God of the past. I'm going to pick this up. I guess this pen, Mark, is this yours? Aren't yours? Okay. I don't know if you've ever done this, but there's a few times in my life with a heavy heart that I've opened my Bible to a passage where God makes certain promises. And my heart is so heavy, I say, Lord, remember this? Of course, God remembers these. He remembers these promises he made to him. And that's exactly what Jacob is doing here. He's reminding God of the promises that he made. And I want to tell you today, God never, ever goes back on his promises. And I rejoice in that. So he begins in verse 9, and Jacob said, O God of my fathers, he deals with the past, Abraham and Isaac. So he goes to the past. He's reminding God somewhat of the past and the promises God made to Abraham and to Isaac, that God was going to fulfill his promises and God was going to give Israel the land. Now, Jacob's name will be changed to Israel, which means a prince with God. That's what the word Israel means, a prince with God. And so God, he goes to the God of the past there. And look here in verse 9 again. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return into thy country. Now notice he said, the Lord said unto me, return into thy country. So he's not only dealing with the God of the past, he's dealing with the God of the present. Lord, I'm going back home only because you told me to. You told me to. Now God in those days, he would reveal himself through audible voices. We don't have that privilege today. We have two or three ways God, I think there are three ways God reveals for us what to do. One is obviously the Word of God. God will never tell you to do anything contrary to his Word. Second, bless the Lord, the Holy Spirit. God will use the blessed Holy Spirit. I have heard his voice within my heart more than once when he wants me to do something and impresses on my heart. I was talking to somebody yesterday who asked me, said, of course, I live near Ambassador Baptist College, just 3 miles from it, there where the school that Dr. Comfort started years ago. And they said, have you ever thought of teaching at the Ambassador? I said, yes. They asked me 3 times if I would teach. And I turned them down because God wanted me to do interims. Now that was circumstances. That was as well, and God in order. So the Holy Spirit impressed on me I was to do interims. I'm here today because God led me. I've done 12 of them now, all over 3 times in California, in Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Ohio, Michigan, Rhode Island. We've had a great time, and Tennessee. But we knew that's what God wanted me to do. I'll never forget that. It was so impressed upon me. Now I got Scripture, I got the Holy Spirit, then I got circumstances. Somebody asked me, "Well, how are you going to get how are you going to know where to go?" I said, "I've never done this before." So God is going to have to, and right away the doors began to open left and right. That's circumstances of life. So God worked all three of these together, but the two important ones is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Those two must work together. And the circumstances is the weaker of the three. The scriptures is number one. The Holy Spirit is number two. And circumstances are number three. So Jacob is reminding God I'm coming back home because you told me to. So he's literally putting God on the spot. By the way, I say it reverently. It's okay to do that as long as you do it with the word of God. So he deals with here the God of the past, the God of the present, and the God of the future. Look here, he says in verse 9 again, and I will dwell, verse 9, let's read it again. Jacob said, O God of my father, Abraham, the God of my father, Isaac, that's the past. The Lord would say to me, turn into thy country, that's the present, to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee, that's the future. That's the future. He's reminding God, I got to face Esau, how are you going to deal well with me if I get murdered? Hello? So he's reminding God of it. That's a heavy heart. I believe there are times in our lives, you know, sometimes we pray ritually. But it's good to pray with a heavy heart. It is so. As a matter of fact, let me ask you this. How many have ever gotten into prayer and your mind begins to drift? Here and there, and you're thinking about what you got to do today. How many of us backslidden people admit that? We just do that. But a heavy heart doesn't do that. A heavy heart stays on the focus of what's going on because things are heavy in your heart. I've told you when our little granddaughter almost died when she swallowed a piece of plastic and went in not into her esophagus but into her lung on the island of Ponape. And how we were told that she probably was going to die. And she even turned blue, couldn't get the plastic out. And we began to pray so fervently about that. I never forget the phone call Marilyn and I received when we were in Michigan doing an interim. And at 3:30 in the morning about that time, Susan called us. She's dad weeping. Dad, Kaylin maybe dying. We can't get that plastic out of her lung, and they think we ought to get her to Hawaii. That's 3,000 miles. And I said, we'll do it. She said, Dad, we have to rent a private plane to do it. That's 39,000. I said, do it. We'll mortgage the home. Not going to put a home before my granddaughter. Just do it. She called back about an hour later. She said, Dad, they said we can take a nurse and put Kaylin and I on a plane. And they can do that for 9,000. Praise the Lord, I just saved 30,000. I got a call about an hour later. She said she's going to make it. The little girl began to turn blue and whatever, and coughed up a piece of that plastic out of the lung, which the doctor said, you don't normally do that. And that doctor, who wasn't saved, a lady, had been there, two or three days staying with her, held that up and said to Susan, you can't have this. This is my reward for this little sweet girl that she's going to live. And I'm praise God. See, but we prayed. That's a heavy heart. And you've all prayed at times. I was thinking of Larry and Carol, what they've gone through recently with Whitney, how we had that funeral, a beautiful girl who's ready to plan her wedding. That's a heavy heart. That's a heavy heart. And sometimes gives us a heavy heart. So we got the God of the past, the God of the present, and the God of the future. So all three of these. Now look with me here, the prayer that he prayed also here. It was a prayer of humility. Look at verse 10. Nothing will humble you more than trials. They will either make you bitter, or they'll make you better. And that has to humble. And here is this man, he's got a lot of pride. Jacob was a very proud man. Matter of fact, he was proud and he was crooked. He could go through a pack of pretzels and not knock a grain of salt off of one of the pretzels. That's pretty crooked. But he was. And God was working him over. And we look at verse 10 here, and we see here, he said, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. That's probably the first time Jacob felt that way. That's not Jacob. Not the Jacob we normally know. And do thy kindred, verse 9, and of truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, with my staff, I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. You all know what Jordan is, don't you? You know the Jordan River? When Israel passed over, you know what Jordan is a symbol of? Anybody know what it's a symbol of? Let's test your theology. Anybody have any idea? It's a symbol of what? Of death. Death to the old life. God was saying to Jacob, you need to die to self. Die to sin. Die to the old life. He brings up Jordan for a reason, I believe. Jacob, you're going to be a new person when I get through with you. And so it was a prayer of humility. It was a prayer also of help, as well as a prayer of the heart. He says here in verse 11, look at it. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And so it's a prayer for help. I thank God. Psalm 121. Let's turn there for just a moment. Are you familiar with that psalm? Turn to there when you get your heart heavy, as Jacob did. Look at verse 21, chapter 121, verse 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh what? My help. My help cometh from where? The Lord. Doesn't come from the credit card. Doesn't come from what you have. Comes from God. And sometimes God will strip everything away in our life so we'll say the only thing we have left is what? God. That's what God often will do. You know, today in our society, person has a financial problem, he just goes out and borrows more money. Sounds like our government, doesn't it? The credit card, the checkbook, the job, the whatever. God sometimes will strip everything away. The only thing we have to call on is God. It was a prayer for help. Look there, verse 2 there of 121 here. Let's look at it here. Let's look. I turned away from it, but I want to get back to it here. Psalm 121. Just wait on me. I'll get there. Psalm 121. Let's read that again together here. Look. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He's the God of creation. He's the God who created everything. He's God who created you. So your help comes from that person. I'll go back to our text here, if you will, please, here as we move on here. So what happens next is very interesting. We not only have this meeting here with a heavy heart, with a heavenly host, but now we have a meeting with a holy God. Drop down here to verse 22 in chapter 32. Look there with me in verse 22 here. So Jacob, the text between what we just read and where we are now, he's taking his family, dividing them into different places so they'll be protected. It's interesting, though, he chooses... Rachel. Is it Rachel? Yeah, Rachel. Over Leah. He's more concerned about his Rachel than he is Leah. God's still got to deal with him. And he's two handmaids. Remember, he's got 12 sons and one daughter. That's 13. Or going to have. He's got another one coming here. But let's look here. Let's look here in verse 20. Say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is. He's telling his servant to go. Let Esau know I'm coming. And he knows that Esau's coming with how many people? 400. What's that? He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. Now look here. Drop all the way down to verse 23. So tells his servant, go let Esau that I'm on my way here. And I want you to notice something as we begin in verse 23 here, because first of all, the meeting with the Holy God, he's very much alone. Look what he finds here in verse 24. And Jacob was left what? You need to underline that. Loneliness is not the absence of people. It's the absence of the presence of God. Go to the mall sometime and just look at people. They're lonely. They're in a crowd, but they're lonely. And no doubt there'll be people in our church today who are very lonely. Not the matter of the absence of people, although they need people. It's the absence of the presence of God. He's all alone. God's not in his life. He's been crooked. He's been with his father-in-law. And he's not lived a good life. No doubt he's reminiscing. Probably going over some of his sins and some of his mistakes. There's a couple of them are brought out in the text. Look there again in verse 24. He's left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. Now, underline that. He was not only very much alone, but he was very much apprehended by God. Wow. Who is the man in this passage? Anybody know? The Lord Jesus. Jesus in a wrestling match? Yeah. He's in one with you and me too. Every day, wanting to take over our lives. And this is what we call a theophany. The appearance of Christ. I want to say we all need a theophany in our theology. To me, theology, we need theology, amen. Need doctrine, but put life in it. That comes when you put the Lord in your theology and in your experience. We need to learn to experience the presence of God as well as read about it in Scripture. Jacob knew about God from up here, but you know, you got to get it from here down to here to the heart. And that's what God is doing here with Jacob. So he is very much alone here. And he's very much apprehended. The Bible says there wrestled a man with him. And he gets his hip out of joint. It's a very interesting story. Let me say three things here about apprehending here. God will protect us, but he won't pamper us. Mark that. He'll protect us, but he won't pamper us. We're living in a world today, particularly Americans in our society, we like to be pampered. If we're out of order, God will protect us, but he will not pamper us. Two, God will not harm us, but he may hurt us. Say, what's the difference? Hurting us is getting a hold of us to where we're willing to surrender our lives. Harm is to do something to destroy us. God will never do that, but he will hurt us. A.W. Tozer, how many are familiar with A.W. Tozer? A.W. Tozer often said, and I have several books by Tozer, one of my favorite authors is A.W. Tozer. He said, a man is really not able to be used of God until he's hurt. God puts him through something which he'll never be the same. Have you been there? Have you ever been there? Thank God for it. Thank God for it. God allowed you to be hurt so that you will recognize your total dependence upon him. That's what it's all about. He will hurt you, but he'll never harm you. And God will break you in order to bless you. God is hanging on to Jacob to break him. And Jacob is hanging on to God so that God will bless him. It's interesting. because we know if he's the Lord Jesus Christ and Jacob. Let's just read the rest of the text there. I need to get moving here quickly. Let's move here. Look here. Let's look at verse 24 again. And when Jacob was left alone, very much alone, there wrestled a man with him till the break of day, very much apprehended. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh went out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go." That's the Lord speaking, "for the day breaketh." And he said, "I'll not let thee go except thou bless me." Now, I want you to get the thought here. In order for God wanted to break Jacob, and Jacob wanted God to bless him. I'm going to make a statement here. I get a little tired of people saying, I say, "How you doing?" "Well, I'm hanging in there." That's dumb theology. Just hang on to him. It's almost like I'm hanging on to life. Let go and let him take care of you. And because most people say, when I say, "Well, in other words, I'm going through a lot." Yes, so just praise the Lord. And we see him here very much apprehended. And how many have ever had a thigh go out of joint? It's just, they tell me it's painful. I have a daughter, as you know, who's been in a wheelchair all of her life, since she's a babe, in a wheelchair. 51 years old now, never walked a day in her life. One of the things I fear, she's had, I don't know how many surgeries, honey, what, half a dozen, six, seven, I don't know, quite a few. She's been in a full body cast, and she had to have a muscle transplant on her leg, you name it, she's had it. And but I fear that that joint, it would be excruciating pain for her. And she can't tell you, because she's mentally as well as physically handicapped. And as a matter of fact, when we go visit her, she'll say, "I hurt." We don't know if it's real or she wants attention. If I thought I could get away with it by saying "I hurt," get some attention, I'd probably do it too. Okay? She just says, "I hurt." And we'll take her a walk and she enjoys it. Very demanding here. She'll point there where I'm to go. Anyway, it's very interesting. He's got to be in excruciating pain. He's joined, but he hangs onto the only one who can help him get through this problem. I want to say it reverently. You hang on to God. He's the only one that will get you through. Amen. As you went through the homecoming of your husband recently. Praise God for his goodness. Hang on to him is the one you want to let wrap your arms around. So God was holding on to him to break him, and now he is holding on to God to bless him. And so we find him, he's apprehended, and this is what we call a theophany here. And let's move on here. And then we find he's not only very much apprehended, very much alone, he's very much admonished, rebuked. He said, look at verse 27. And he said to him, "What is thy name?" He said, "Jacob." Now, why do you think, do you think that the Lord knew his name? Why do you think he asked that question? Anybody?
Because of what his name meant, he wanted him to.
Well, that, but there's another reason. When his father Isaac, who couldn't see very well, remember, he brought the sacrifice to him, the supper to him. And his dad said, "Who is this?" He said, "I'm what? I'm Esau." So God's going back 20-something years ago to admonish him. "I want you to know what you know, what who you are." And then God will bless and change his name to having power with God. So he's admonished. He's altered. We're going to find that next. He's, first of all, alone, apprehended, admonished, and now he is altered. He's very much altered here. Look here. And verse 28, and Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, now Jacob is asking God his name. "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" He blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which means the face of God. That's what that name means. "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And he passed over Peniel as the sun rose upon him, and he held it upon his thigh. He's not only very much alone, very much admonished, very much apprehended, but now he's altered. He can't walk right. He's crippled. God wants to make us all crippled so we can lean on him. To lean on him. I get a kick out of as you know, Bob Mann, he's got a cane today. He's out of the other. I called him a Canaanite this morning. Uses a cane. And Eileen was a cane this morning. She's going to have surgery on the 10th of March. She's in pain. I kidded with them. I tell you the story. I fell off the roof and they called me a Canaanite because I had to use a cane and a latter-day saint because I fell off the ladder. But isn't it great to make fun of people? Till you go through it. And so Jacob then, in the next chapter, probably where we'll just say a couple comments here, he meets Esau. And God has changed Esau's attitude toward Jacob. Now let me tell you something, only God could do that. I want to ask you a question. How many have somebody in your present life that has hurt you in some way? Let me see your hands. Let me tell you what to do for them. Pray for them. Because God will change your attitude about them if you pray for them. You can't have the same attitude that you have. Bitterness and anger will go up. Let me illustrate that as we close. So he meets Esau, but I want you to turn 45th chapter of Genesis. And when you go over there, you remember the story of Joseph that I preached a series on? You remember how that Joseph now is meeting his brothers after, over 20 years as well. His brothers feel in their mind they deserve also to be killed. But I want you to notice what forgiveness does here as we close. Don't miss it, and we'll leave here. I'll do it quickly because I have no choice. The clock says so. Let me know. Number one, forgiveness expresses emotion. Verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from them," and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to her, and he wept aloud. And the boys begin to weep too. But they're also very terrified. If you notice verse 3, the word troubled at the end of that verse. Troubled at his presence is a word which means to be in a tight place. He knows. They know this man has power to kill us. Esau has power to kill Jacob. But I want to tell you something. Forgiveness has emotions. And forgiveness. And when he meets Esau over there, go to see Esau over there. He hugs his neck. That's a favorite southern expression. Want to hug your neck? Okay. All right. He not only... He also extends the right hand of fellowship. Look at verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, what? Come near me. It's not only with emotion, but he said, come on, fellas. I bet they had a time you wouldn't believe because all of a sudden their brother is forgiving them. It not only extends the right hand of fellowship, it not only expresses emotion, but he erases judgment. He erases judgment. How does Jacob treat them? Or Joseph treat them, I'll get the name right, as though they never did anything wrong. Matter of fact, Joseph says, God allowed this. Whoa. Every person that you will get in your life that gives you trouble, God arranged it for a purpose. and your life. And with that, that clock says we got to close. Don't forget to stay for church. Machine guns will be at the door when it tries to leave. No, just kidding.